pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Happy Friday. Friday is finally Friday. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. You text me, and I do my best to respond to whatever it is. Sometimes it is very insightful and interesting and provokes a discussion, and then sometimes I get frustrated. But I do appreciate the feedback, whatever the emotional response may be. Coming up on the program this morning, we'll kick it off with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News in about 30 minutes from now. April Murray Fogel also on the program. Join us 11 o'clock hour. David Melton running for Mobile County License Commissioner. And then finally, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, will be with us. So a lot of reasons for you to stay tuned to this program. Keep it locked right there at 106.5 on the dial. Let's go ahead and get into the news here. Let's start Alabama news. We talk a lot about libraries and be like, wow, the libraries are still a thing. Yeah, I know. They are still a thing. So there's controversy going back, I guess, almost a year now. Just like, what's on the shelves in the children's section of your local library? And as it turns out, remarkably, sexually progressive, maybe is the way to describe it. A little too hip with the times. So a bunch of books that got a lot of parents upset. Just kind of showing up on the shelves, displays celebrating Pride Month. A lot of things people maybe weren't really, didn't know existed in their local library. So fine, yeah. And you can imagine that there's a little bit of a pushback against it, and that's sort of the phase we're in now. Well, yesterday, the Alabama Public Library Service tabled a motion to walk away from the American Library Association, which is it's for all of these DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion policies within the public library. Led by a Marxist, whatever that means. So the state's really grappling with this. It's a symbolic battle, right? And I know a lot of you have told, we talked to you about this in the past, like, who still uses the library when you have Wikipedia? Actually, that's what a lot of you, probably are thinking. What I think it really is just our institutions and what is allowed and what isn't. And it's just kind of like the gateway to normalizing a behavior or a normalizing a lifestyle. If institutions, taxpayer funded institutions, start depicting this in the way these children's books sometimes depict it. Which is, you know, at that age, talking about sexual identity and all that just seems so strange. And like, why now? Can't we wait till you're a little older, till we start, you know, dealing with this? But anyway, that's like the big culture war stuff. I used to like kind of think, culture war, isn't that coin, isn't that cute? The culture war used to be something like, 10 years ago, it was just like, yeah, this is something that really motivates a certain segment of voters to get out. But most Americans, they're kind of more progressive, or they don't really think about this stuff. And what it looks like is what the right did in the 80s. Sort of getting the evangelical vote to coalesce around Reagan and the Republican Party. And you know, because it used to be probably a little more Democrat prior to that. Is now like the Democrats taking that playbook, but they're applying it to the other side of the culture, and they're getting the cultural activists, people who really want to see the culture go in the other direction, to coalesce around their cause, their party, their movement, et cetera. Not that it was ever Republican or conservative. So here we are. We're fighting this trench warfare, if it is, because neither side is really making much gain at the public library in Alabama. And yesterday was like another phase in this, but it got put off until next year. So the Alabama Public Library Service has tabled a motion to not end its membership in the American Library Association. And what I guess on paper would seem like a no-brainer, like right-wing Alabama is holding on to these vestiges here of cultural progressivism. These strongholds, if you will, within government. Who knew all this was going on right there in our in plain sight? So you should pay more attention to your institutions. But the thing that gets me, and let me hear me on my soapbox one more time about this. When we talk about drag queen story hour, or be it the drag show in the Cathedral Square or whatever it is, the genderqueer library book. You go down the list of all these things, it's just like, wow, that's really going on, huh? When did that happen? When did society, our Alabama society, not society at large in America or even globally, but when did the people in this state say, hey, you should take our institutions and go in that direction? Because I don't remember that time. And it seems like the thing that bothers me more about this, and really we could have the cultural debate if you like, it's these bureaucrats within these institutions that our tax dollars pay the bills for their salary or whatever and benefits, taking it upon themselves and looking at their duty and taking it in a direction that's out of the mainstream in kind of local culture, because they reject the local culture. They reject the traditions. They see virtue in something that most, and I know that we're not ruled by the majority always, but on the big stuff like that, why don't you just ask first? Let's have a discussion about it. You know, like you don't want to ban books. Okay, but maybe don't you? Maybe it's not an idea of banning the book. It's just putting it on a different shelf in the library. Instead of having like Mickey Mouse and Peppa Pig and Bluey and then all these things that draw the eyeballs of children all in one place, and then right next to the book about Eric Carley and the caterpillar, a guy who, or a little boy who decides he wants to be a girl, maybe not quite yet. And I think that's where a lot of this comes from people. That's just something a lot of folks are really apprehensive about. And thus you have this controversy, but, another phase of that, surprise, surprise, it got punted down the road, and we'll see where that takes us. We can talk more about that later in the program. AL.com, big on this whole paddling thing here in the last few days. Trying to draw some kind of correlation between paddling and low test scores. Well, that really kind of begs the question. Saying bringing back paddling is a great idea. I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea either. But maybe that's not the way to go about fixing, because we have a discipline problem in schools in this state. Well, here's my question. What is the right way to rectify the discipline problem in schools so that we can try to teach kids who want to be there or need to be there or need to be instructed, but you have all these other distractions like discipline to deal with in the public schools? Because, I mean, like, how many TikTok videos are there of kids fighting in the hallways of some random public school in Alabama? There's real issues here. And then in Mobile County, you're talking about bringing back some kind of element of a corporal punishment. But as we have seen, there's a lot of pushback to that. A lot of parents don't want the PE teacher smacking their child with a wooden paddle. How many of you got, what is the view on paddling? Because I'm not opposed to it in theory, but then I'm also, I wouldn't want my child to be paddled by the cast of characters that teach in our public schools right now. And maybe I'm just too exposed to the news and have a real skepticism of who's teaching in public schools. So I don't know. That's a question for you. What should the remedy be for discipline? One, and number two, what do you think of paddling? I mean, like I said, how many of you were paddled in your public school days? I'm among those personally. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Let us know what you think of that. Some other things going on in the news. Update on George Santos. If that's something you obviously I don't care about, but maybe you do. He the ethics committee chairman has said, they have filed for the expulsion of Santos. So we're going on to the next phase here. I don't know who is really losing sleep over this guy, unless you live in New York State. But every single vote that goes away for Republicans, it makes it that much closer for Democrats. Now, there will have to be a special election, and there's a little time here to deal with figuring out what and figuring out, you know, how that campaign will play out. But it's hard for me to imagine that a Republican can win that seat right now after the George Santos experience in that district. A little bit of background here on what happened. New York was one of those states that didn't really have the abortion fight. Republicans did better than they were supposed to. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
You got to know. Never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. 206. You need to be in touch with the program. Just use your texting device, and we will have an exchange, if you will, about whatever's on your mind. Let's see here. Damn Yankee. Think about it for a minute. Our culture, society took a dump on the sidewalk following the COVID debacle. Another victory for China. Things did turn there. It was like Black Lives Matter and take it to the streets and like this total disregard for the rule of law. But we were told, hey, look, being counter to the rule of law is a virtue. It's justified. You're Martin Luther King Jr. Regardless, just act out on your feelings. And I'll always see this. George Floyd may have been like that quote unquote spark. There's no excusing what the police did there. But there's always a but, isn't there? But I think like the groundswell, the way it caught on to what should have been a local story was just a product of cooping everybody up for 3-4 months, putting them under like quote unquote house arrest in the name of COVID, and people just going out and blowing off steam. It's weird. They do treat humanity at times like we're caged animals, and it's such a bizarre behavior from our elites in America. Jason, more accountability from deadbeat parents and less handouts to cater them. It's not that schools are going to beat children, but they have to believe you will. Now the kids know you can't touch them. And I think that's true. But here's an interesting thing, Jason. That like we expect now the schools to feed to the public school does much more than it ever has, except. We've gone in one direction with the parental responsibilities on all of these different things, except for discipline. We've gone in that other direction. And it's kind of like a bizarre sort of dynamic, right? That you expect to clothe and feed and all the things the public sector does for some in our state, except on the discipline where it's backed off of that. And so I don't know, like, you know, like under our roof, you're going to act a certain way. Well, I mean, they're expecting public school teachers and administrators to fill the void left by parents and all these other areas, except for the discipline side of it. Let's see here. I thought about the book I dropped off a while back, written for third graders, says Derek. Derek continues, I say, dig up Jerry Fowler, beat them kids. I will straight up punch my kid in the face. Nice Jerry Fowler reference there, Derek. Jason writes, corporal punishment was part of my public schooling. I am now an local anesthesia provider. Didn't affect my test scores. Well, that's what they're trying. Here's what they're trying to do at AL.com. And I am just so over AL.com. It cannot go away soon enough. But they're trying to say that this corporal punishment is a conservative idea. And since it's a conservative idea, it's bad. And here's proof because look at the test scores. Yeah. Insane, right? Hollis writes, this is Hollis in Saraland. I'm 53, and we were paddled in school. It's obvious people our age were paddled are a better generation than the ones that are coming out of school now. Paddling works. All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you. first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the show. Use your texting device. Still to come on the program, April Marie Fogle, about an hour from now. David Melton, he's running for license commissioner here in Mobile. And then finally, our returning champion, as we do every Friday to end the week. Last time we'll hear from him and, three of our guests until after the until after Thanksgiving. But State Senator Chris Elliott will be with us as well. So please stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. He is the host of a Capital Journal and Alabama Public Television and a publisher of what I call the political website for grownups in this state, Alabama Daily News, Todd Stacey. Todd, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. Happy Friday.
Hey, same to you. Same to you. Real quick, how you feeling about Auburn these days?
pretty good after last week. That was a beat down. We haven't really handed out in a long time, really.
On the road,
it feels pretty good. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things like, man, that you were just waiting for them to put it all together, and they finally did and played up to their potential, and so it's kind of fun to think about what the future might look like. Cause it looks pretty bright.
Yeah, I'm eager to see how the next two games will go. So I cautiously optimistic, I think, is probably my approach. But, hey, basketball, man, did you catch a game last night?
I did. It's awesome. Talk about potential. That team has limitless potential. So it's fun to be an Auburn Tiger these days.
Yeah, without exceedingly high expectations, they can it can be enjoyable. Anyway, enough of that. Let's kick it off here. I want to kind of AL1, not a surprise. It's for all the marbles on March 5th. No runoff in the Republican and in the Democrat. They got a Democrat nominee. But any thoughts on the first congressional district now that we know what we have?
Well, I would really love to see some polling. We're probably not going to be able to do any polling down there, but I'm sure groups are. I'm sure the campaigns themselves are. So I'd really love to see just kind of how it breaks down when you pull that new district, especially considering, the Wiregrass is now lumped in with Mobile and Baldwin County and just how that breaks down. I'd like to know how Jerry Carl, his name recognition, his favorables versus unfavorables in the Wiregrass. I'd like to know whether people in Mobile and Baldwin know who Barry Moore is. That would give you a base to start from to say, okay, what work do you have to do? I'm assuming that Barry Moore has to do a lot of work in Mobile and Baldwin County to get his name out there. That can be really expensive, right? You got to pay for it. You got to buy advertising, and Mobile is an expensive market, especially compared to Dothan and Montgomery. So, how are you going to do that? But you got to know what you're doing. So I'd really love to see some polling, but we're kind of flying blind because, we're making assumptions because, Mobile and Baldwin is really the population base of that district now. But without really some solid numbers, we don't really know.
Well, believe it or not, I was just talking to some of Jerry Carl's guys the other day, like the two biggest population centers now, well, municipalities, let's say, Dothan and Daphne. And you can't really, you talk about two very, very different places on the map.
Yeah.
That's it. But, the one variable, we can look at like trends and try to figure out where the population centers are, but Is it, and you were, when you worked for Martha Roby, was this the case? I mean, I always like, and maybe I'm totally wrong, but I always like the problem for the Wiregrass was always getting turnout. Like turnout could be low at times. It just it was a part of the state that kind of felt like it wasn't really in the mix, and I think that really kind of hampered the turnout in some elections.
I guess it depends on the election. You know, Congress is every 2 years, so you get the midterms and the presidentials. But in the presidentials, no, it was always really high. So, you know, go back to 2012, 2014, 2016. I can't remember a time when it wasn't pretty high. 2016, it was super high for Donald Trump. I expect it to be the same way this time. So, no, they get out and vote, but it's the Wiregrass and Houston County in particular. They really make you work for it, right? They are you're right that they have a chip on their shoulder. I think every area of the state kind of feels neglected for one reason or another. We can talk about that a different day,
right?
But Dothan certainly does. They have a chip on their shoulder, so they really want candidates to come earn their vote. And I know that Jerry Carl's been spending some time over there, so I'm curious how that's going. It's interesting. You've got to spend some time and work there, kind of like a New Hampshire or Iowa.
Well, this is just relative to the rest of the state, I suppose. Because consultants would always tell me that, you know, compared percent on a percentage level, you know, compared to Birmingham, Huntsville, you know, and even Mobile, but it also lags, that Wiregrass was always a struggle to figure out how to build up any kind of enthusiasm.
Sure. Well, you know, go back to 2008. And I know that's like a, lifetime ago, but a lot of the Wiregrass went and voted for a Democrat and Bobby Bright, right? Because he was from there. And, you know, it was a pretty tough year for Republicans in 2008. A lot of the Wiregrass voted Democratic. I don't think they're going to do that this time. I'm just saying that's the kind of, it's a different sort of population. And again, you've got to really go work for it. I think that had less to do with Republican versus Democrat and having more to do with Montgomery versus the Wiregrass, right? They were open to voting for a Democrat that time simply because he was from there and not from Montgomery. So that kind of tells you the sort of chip on your shoulder mentality.
Joined by Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News and Alabama Public Television's Capital Journal. Todd, 21 candidates in AL2. Any polling right now until we start kind of whittling this fill down is I think it's useless. I mean, who knows? Name ID. It really is like an old, like Wiregrass sort of race, except instead of like running two races, a Wiregrass and a Montgomery race, you're almost running three races. The district is so complex.
Yeah. So, you know, 21 candidates, it's a daunting number, but you can really just break it down into two different races. It's a Republican race with 8 candidates, Democrat race with 13 candidates. Obviously that's still a huge number. They're two different races, you know, two different votes. So, you know, on both sides, you know, who's going to spend the amount of money that it's going to take to break through that field and be in the top two? We know there's going to be runoffs. It'd be virtually impossible for it not to go to a runoff. So, you know, which Republican candidates? I know that Dick Brubaker is going to have some money. I think that Caroline Dobson is going to have some money. Greg Allbritton probably has some money too. So are they going to be able to spend the amount that's needed to break through, get into that top two, and then, you know, live to fight in the runoff? On the Democratic side, I mean, again, 13 different candidates, several of which are not from the district, right? I mean, so that's really interesting. You've got, two candidates from Birmingham, one from Huntsville, one from Opelika, one from Mobile, but he's been living in D.C. for a while. So, you know, clearly, I don't think that's really going to matter. That's such a with so many from outside the district that the sting kind of comes out of that attack. But yeah, who's going to have enough resources to spend and advertise and get their name out there enough to be in that top two. So, yeah, you're talking about two different votes, two different campaigns, but you're right. It's absolutely wide open.
Well, it's not a district you could really do. You could really just really work on the ground level retail politic. I mean, you've got to spend some money in the three media markets. You've got to figure out a way to raise enough money to do that, and that's who's going to win in either one of those two parties, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, think about the Democrats right now. They've not had to campaign in this area of the state in a long time. And so they're out of practice. So I'm curious, like, what consultants are going to get hired to run these races? Are they going to have the sort of institutional knowledge? Is there enough institutional knowledge out there to come and understand, okay, well, you've got to be on this TV station here. You've got to be on this radio station here to appeal to that, you know, Democratic electorate. Anybody can just, you know, parachute in and look at the numbers and tell you what to do, but it really takes some institutional knowledge and experience to do it right. So that could be a key factor. I was actually talking with a Democratic candidate yesterday and explaining who doesn't live in the district. It's Wanda Gavan. She's going to be on the show tonight. And just sort of because she knew that I had worked in the second district before, the old second district, was just asking, you know, what about the TV stations and this and that. And there's just a lot of stuff that, you know, you take for granted maybe, or there's just, you know, it takes years of experience to understand all that. So those that hire the right campaign staff and hire the right consultants could have an edge.
What do you, if you're a Democrat in Alabama right now, I mean, how closely do you align yourself, especially in the second district? Now, I mean, I know statewide, maybe it's different, but this second district, what do you think? I mean, do you really want to align yourself with Joe Biden? Do you really want to align yourself with this progressive left, or is it kind of maybe more Archer Davis-esque, you know, but not liberal, but not conservative, is so somewhere in between, a little bit of both? I don't know however you want to describe that. What do you think of that?
No, yeah, I don't think you align yourself with Joe Biden. I think anybody would be in trouble. You know, out in Alabama, outside of Jefferson County, outside of like urban Birmingham, there's not a lot of true progressive ideology in the state. And I don't know as much about inner city Mobile as you do or others might. Maybe that's close, but I really doubt it. And so no. And look at the campaign that a guy like Anthony Daniels is going to run. He's obviously not a crazy progressive, crazy liberal or anything. He's going to run pretty conservative. That works. And it's not look at a guy like Shamari Figures. He's talking about his experience in the Obama administration. So listen for those words. They'll talk a lot more about Obama than they will about Biden. And that's smart politics. Obama was a popular president. And so, yeah, lean on that. Biden's just not very popular. He's not popular in his own party. And if you looked at the recent polling from the Siena New York Times poll, he's absolutely losing support in the African-American community. So, yeah, if I was advising a campaign, I'd say, don't even mention Joe Biden. You know, let's think back to the good old days of Barack Obama, but stay away from this unpopular president.
Is Anthony Daniels the front runner here? Because I, you know, the name I don't hear enough of, and I'm surprised, and I think he's the front runner, is Napoleon Bracey. I think he's got a good relationship with the Chamber of Commerce crowd down here. And whenever I talk to Republicans, they speak very highly of him. You don't hear his name in that orbit of the front runner. You hear a lot of Anthony Daniels. But I mean, I don't know who else you hear on the Democrat side. And I think on the Republican side, it's Brubaker, Albritton, and maybe that Wallace Gilberry and Caroline Dobson kind of is maybe on the edge there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that, you know, those three to me, at the on the Democratic side, are who I'm looking at. I'm looking at Anthony Daniels, I'm looking at Napoleon Bracey, and I'm looking at Shamari Figures. I think the Figures and Daniels, I know, are going to have a lot of money, a lot of funds, because it's going to come from national organizations. Daniels is probably going to have some from here in state. And they're already kind of showing it. You can tell with the sort of, I don't know, the format of their campaign so far and just the precision that they're going to be well-funded. I don't know as much about Bracey's funding, but I know he's been to D.C., and I know he's working that pretty hard. So, yeah, I think that's your top three right there. So we'll see. On the Republican side, I think you're right. It's Brubaker, because we know he's well-funded. It's all Britain, and it's Caroline Dobson. You might have some others compete, but again, in that primary, in that Republican primary, it's all about money. You just have to have the money to get on TV and get on radio and get your name out there. And so it doesn't matter if you're a really good candidate without money. I hate to put it in those terms because I know people sort of hate money in politics. But that's what it's going to take now that these districts are the way they are.
Todd, real quick, give us a preview of what you got coming on Capital Journal this evening, and then also tell folks how they can sign up for your great newsletter at albdailynews.com.
The newsletter is easy. You're going to want to sign up. Just go to aldailynews.com. You can enter your name and your email right there on the homepage, and you'll be on the list. Yeah, tonight we're actually going to be talking with two of the candidates. Wandalyn Gavanch, who's state representative from Birmingham, Democrat. We'll be talking to her on the show, and also Caroline Dobson, who's a Republican from Montgomery. So really interesting talk. Also, it's National Adoption Awareness Month. So I'm going to be talking with the leader of Agape of Central Alabama about some of the interesting things with adoption in the post-Dobbs world. So please tune in. Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television tonight at 7:30 and Sunday at noon.
Todd, as always, we appreciate it.
All right, Jeff, be good.
All right, guys, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, I was country.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106, the text line. Coming up in the next hour, we'll hear from April Marie Fogle, of a parent fan favorite of the Jeff Porch Show. She will be with us, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We just continue down the treacherous road of texting here. Martin writes this: paddling is a slippery slope. Humility is punishment, works for all ages. But it doesn't. I mean, like, the culture, humility only works if the culture is able to be humiliated, I guess. We've like greenlit a lot of behavior, Martin. Like, it's okay to act out. It's okay to, you know, and so that's the problem. That you can't use these. You know, like, you apply it to, like, that the adults in the room, too. Like, you know, at one time, before we had such a social safety net, if you will, of welfare and benefits, and you know, some of that has done a lot of good, but it's become more of a dependency on the social safety net. But long before that, if you were an able-bodied adult, you were out working and you were just getting drunk all day, or in this case now, in this day and age, it's drugs. I mean, society kind of made you an outcast and said, hey, you're not going to be hanging out with the cool kids. And that was kind of like a self-correcting mechanism within communities. But you always had deadbeats or whatever. Now it's okay. It's okay if you don't want to go to work. It's okay if you got some issues you need to work through or you don't feel comfortable. And as you might think, what's happened? I mean, the dependencies have increased. The thing is, just, it's cultural. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Forrest Show on Up and Talk 106.5.
Just full of sinners and believers. Learn that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers.
From Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Happy Friday morning to you. 6 minutes after the hour, Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with this program. Coming up on the remainder of today's program, April Refogle in about 30 minutes from now. Also, David Melton running for the Mobile County License Commissioner seat. And finally, we'll hear from Chris Elliott, our returning champion state senator from my part of the listening area, the south half of Baldwin County. That is coming up in about 2 hours, or 1.5 hours, to be more precise. So please stick around for that. Let's get through some of these texts while we get this wide open opportunity here. May not have that later in the program. Pat writes this, Jeff, I was paddled almost weekly and almost daily by my parents. I was a horrible child. I have ADHD. I just don't freaking listen. Paddling had no effect on me whatsoever. That being said, I whooped my boy one time in his 11 years on Earth. He's one of the best kids I've ever met. At home discipline, whether it's physical or emotional, is the answer for bad children. The reason all these old boomers say they were a better generation than my generation is because my boomer parents, along with millions of other boomers, just couldn't parent any other way than threaten and beat children. Here's where we're all making a mistake. All of us. And you know, if you're a parent, you got to know I'm talking to you because this is not all children are the same. So institutional corporal punishment is a one size fits all government solution. Okay. On some kids, it's going to work. On other kids, it's not going to work. I think paddling does work, but it's just not going to work for everybody. You can't, I mean, we're not all just like, variables in a science experiment here, right? But then what is the answer? You've got to have some kind of disciplinary mechanism that matters. Like school suspension or whatever is not really getting the job done. What they are doing now in our public schools is not working. And, you know, we've had such a societal collapse that you know, like the parents feel no shame for their misbehaving children. What do you do here? 251-343-0106. So I don't think we should, like, Pat, your experience is not unique, but it's not the end. It's not the experience that I think is applicable to everybody. It's kind of like managing people or some of you that have coached organized sports that certain players react to different things in different ways. You got to figure each managing people. You got to figure out what gets them going, what gets them motivated, what gets them interested, what gets them engaged. That's what I would say about that. But this corporal punishment stuff, I do think it works on a lot, and it would It's better than what they're doing now in our public schools. Some kids will grow to resent it, and it'll make them more angry. But here's the science. And you can argue with me and tell me I'm wrong, but this is, I think, something you could back up. The trajectory for misbehaving kids in public schools is increasing. That's one line on the graph. While the disciplinary methods and options for school administrators and teachers, etc., are decreasing. Want to say there's a correlation there? I don't know. I could be crazy. But I think there probably is. It is so much this, like, it's not the paddling itself, Pat. I think it's just the threat of it. It's the fear of it. It's like, I don't want to deal with that, or I don't like that. I better not do this. And you want to have that threat. I mean, you want to have that option. You want that tool in your tool chest. It's the nuclear option, right? But since we have ceded so much of parenting responsibility to the public schools in some communities, why not cede the discipline too? Just say, you here, you take them. Let's see here. Jason writes, I received a poll from SurveyMonkey this morning. It was 50 questions, and probably 30 of them were specifically about Dick Brubaker. I hope this means he's serious about winning this. Yeah, Senator Brubaker is in it. He's trying to win. He's got Dave Mallory, someone you hear on the show from time to time, as his campaign consultant / manager, I suppose. The thing that Brubaker's going to have over the other Republicans in the race, I think he has a Montgomery lockdown. I think Senator Brubaker has, for now, unless people can screw things up, but for now, I think he's got at least one spot in the primary runoff. I don't think he can win it without a runoff. Now, things change, and this is just me, like, trying to figure out which way the wind's blowing. I haven't seen any data. Data or data. But just knowing what we know, he's not a guy in Montgomery. He's got very high name ID. And so for this audience, Brubaker Motors is like an institution, I think going back to the 1940s in Montgomery. And with any car dealership, the advertising, Brubaker has it. It was just like a common thing on Montgomery radio and television for the better part of the last 80 years. So there's a built-in name ID. The Brubaker is just like, it clicks. There's names in Mobile, I'm sure, that you're just like, oh. Well, so in that market, he's not going to have to spend as much money or time in getting to know people. They already know him. Oh, I know Dick. Oh, yeah, he's scratch golfer or whatever. Yeah, he came to my kid's Little League game. He's going to have really high name ID in that part of the district. Where he's going to have to really do work is down here. Now, he's been coming on my show for a couple of years now. I don't think he had any intention when he agreed to start coming on that he would run for Congress. But such as it is, federal courts kind of acting like they are. No one could have foreseen that coming, including the Supreme Court. Well, he's had him on because I thought it's interesting. Can he win in Mobile? I think in parts of Mobile proper, yeah. He kind of fits the template of the kind of candidate. He talks the talk among the, city dweller, right-leaning types. Unnamed texture. I was once by the football coach, never needed it again. I guess paddled by the football coach. I am for discipline. I felt the light. And then unnamed texter adds, Obama was and is a thug. Roger. The answer is, who will PCI back? They have all the money on the second congressional district, probably Albright, and they have had him in their back pocket. I don't think it's a leap. I mean, Albright's from Atmore. What's an Atmore? It's always kind of been that way. They're good allies to have. And they have a reason to really, what they want. They want influence in the federal government. They want influence on Capitol Hill because a lot of what is, they're governed by the Department of the Interior. Paul writes, still believe Biden is the nominee. Yeah. I mean, I don't. The only reason I say that, I mean, I know he's kind of aloof and whatever, but like, who else? Maybe you say Newsom is running, but he isn't really running, just in case. But there's no reason to believe it could be anybody else at this point. How irresponsible would it be for Joe Biden to decide he's not running for re-election at this point in time? On November 17th, less than a year away from the general election, how irresponsible would it be for Biden as a candidate to say, I'm no longer a candidate right now? He's not going to do that to his party. Plus, I mean, there's just too much power, too much at stake. Here's the thing you learn, and Donald Trump, we saw this, these guys don't want to give up that power. Joe writes, I got whooped a lot as a child. It turned out perfect. My best friend got whooped a lot also, and it's useless to society. Yeah, there's no one-size-fits-all solution. But I do think you will have children who will react to a paddle and to a whooping, and then they'll straighten up and fly right. Why take that option off the table? Now, I know in government, in a public school setting, it's, you can't really be that arbitrary. But maybe a good teacher, good instructor, or something would know when to deploy the wooden paddle. Leo. Good morning, Jeff. Referencing paddling school kids, stupid blank her. I was paddled at school more than once. I never been to jail. Any correlation? I don't know. Some kids just like, oh, I got paddled all the time. I could withstand any punishment. What do I care? They just get, if you use that kind of punishment too much on an individual, they get desensitized to it and it doesn't bother them. I mean, everything is relative. Human beings are not, you know, all identical. But for a lot of kids, a lot of good kids that may slip up and think about doing something stupid, knowing that paddling is on the table in the back of their mind might prevent them from making a bad choice. It could, right? Keith, Dick Brubaker sounds like a senator or something of governmental importance. He was a state senator. Senator Brubaker was in the Alabama Senate and kind of a, honestly, he was, as far as like figures go in the Alabama Senate, he was kind of a maverick. But at the time, I mean, it was full of those types. Bill Holzkwal, Trip Pittman. Every part of the state had that. Now, in the Alabama City, you don't really have anything. Everybody kind of goes along to get along, except for the Democrats. And who knew two Democrats could run the entire state? I learned that. Did I learn that in civics class? Oh, no, I learned that watching the Alabama Senate. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Flores Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Flores Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. April Marie Fogel of Alabama today coming up in the next segment. So stay right where you are. I'm told that she wants to discuss the paddling. Is it a controversy? I don't know. Or is it just something to smear old-fashioned conservatives? Like there is a there is an interesting element of intrigue here, like that all of a sudden AL.com is very, very into this issue, and I they are getting to drive the news cycle on this one. Not that it's a big deal, but it is somewhat conversational, for the sake of that, interesting. One more time, the Alabama Public Library Service declined to vote on a resolution to part ways with the American Library Association. The DEI elements of ALA have a lot of people saying, hey, maybe, including the governor, including some lawmakers, saying, hey, maybe Alabama doesn't need to be a part of any of this. Other news, Tommy Tuberville continues to take heat from some of his Republican colleagues, primarily Lindsey Graham, who is threatening to go partner with Democrats. Wouldn't be the first time Lindsey Graham has threatened to go work with Democrats on an issue, immigration. That's Jeff Sessions about that one. Although they call him Lindsey Grahamnesty. Remember that? Who remembers those days? But they're trying to force a rule through that would just go around Tuberville's holds. A few other things. George Santos, probably about to be expelled from Congress. Anybody loses sleep over that? Not yourself. Last night there was an execution after 30 years on death row. Casey McCorder met his maker up in Atmore. They're trying to make him some kind of hero for calling out the warden at that prison. Hey, there's no question about it. It doesn't take a death row, the deceased death row inmate to point out that the Alabama Department of Corrections has some fundamental institutional issues. He died for killing a man in Marshall County in 1993. Here it is. It happened in 93, and it's 2023, and he just finally, after all the appeal, it took 30 years. And I think I'm okay with that. Like, I am okay with these long, drawn-out appeals processes when it comes to the death penalty, because I don't really trust the government. I'm not saying that they're going around opposing the death penalty. It's not an issue that they're abusing their power for me. It's just like they get so much wrong and there's so much incompetency. Well, I tend to be pro-death penalty. The institution of government doing it properly and checking all the boxes and make sure they didn't get the wrong person makes me very uneasy, because I just don't trust the competency of government. And 30 years, I mean, that seems like a long time. Might be okay with 20 years, probably. But the death penalty is back. The lead at the Hill right now. Senate Republicans get ready to roll Tuberville military holds. Do you think that's going to go over well? DeSantis, I mean, not DeSantis, but Tuberville's real quiet right now. I think he's feeling some pressure. Tuberville's feeling the heat from leadership, and he is laying low, as far as I can tell. Y'all keep Tuberville in your prayers, because I think he's on the righteous side defending the rights of the unborn here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. What you do with me when you don't
believe a word I say. Stayed up late again watching TV with my best friend. Laughing at the late night show. I don't know what's wrong with me, because I know I need my rest. Stay up all night, sleep all day, ain't it my best? Hey, yes, we are.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. As always, Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the program. Please utilize your text device. Joining us now on the show, she is the publisher of Alabama Today, April Marie Fogel. Is with us. April Marie, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I am hanging out outside my children's school like a weird loiterer, waiting for our interview to end to go to the book fair.
The book fair.
Do you remember the book fair?
Oh, yeah. The book fair is still a thing, even at my 2-year-old school, by the way.
So my son's window is 10:45 to 11, but they said I could get there. As long as I got there before it ended, I'd be good. So yeah, that's what we're doing. I'm hanging out in the car waiting for book fair.
Oh well, that's
see what kind of books these kids have.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not real high minded literature, but I don't know like what goes for. It's just the stuff they watch on TV in written form, right?
Pretty much, and then of course the cool pencils and the posters. I believe that's my like when I envision book fair, that's what I think about.
And it's like Bluey and Peppa Pig books, and our little one goes nuts for those. So I whatever. He does does like books. Let's get right into it here. And this is by your request. Paddling in public schools, the new AL.com obsession. They cannot go out of business soon enough, as far as I'm concerned. But that's neither here nor there. They have made this correlation between test scores and paddling. I don't even know, where are you on paddling, April Marie?
I think paddling in schools is so archaic. It's so dated. It's stupid, and it does not work. Paddling and spanking in general is something that, and I know it. I know anybody over the age of like 45 is going to say, well, it worked for me. My dad or my grandpa or my mom spanked me and I got scared straight. No, it doesn't work. It's counterproductive. And I don't think we should be doing it in our school system.
Well, here's the problem with any government solution. Everything is one size fits all. I think it works for some and it doesn't work for others. The threat of the paddle is enough to deter some bad decisions. So here's the other thing about it, April Marie. The parents have ceded so much of their responsibilities in parenting to the public schools, feeding, I don't know, clothing in some cases, whatever. The culture's changed. Why not cede punishment and parent that aspect of parenting to them as well then?
Well, you look at in what is happening in our school system. I saw an article yesterday of a Florida teacher and a 270-pound 17-year-old child beat the ever living snot out of this woman. Broke some ribs, gave her a concussion, traumatic brain injury. I mean, all of this stuff. You've got kids like that. A spanking isn't going to help a kid like that. A spanking ain't going to help a kid who, you got to drill down to why are these kids behaving this way. And for overwhelmingly, the reason they're behaving that way, they don't know any better. They've been taught that's okay. There's no discipline at home. A spanking at school isn't going to help.
Well,
and so we need to get down to.
I can make the scientific case here. If you plot it on a graph, the amount of corporal punishment in public schools. It's gone down, right? Wouldn't you say it's gone down over the last 20 years? And the discipline problems have gone up. So, I mean, maybe you can say, well, that's not the causation, but maybe there is a cultural component.
The causation is these children don't have anybody in their life teaching them respect. And I'm not going to say fatherless homes, because God knows I have one. For those of you who didn't know, I'm a single mother. I'm not going to say fatherless homes. It's homes without men in the children's life, teaching them to respect those around them. And we have quite the opposite problem. We have kids, lots of them, and you see it all over social media, where the parents are doing the absolute opposite. They're teaching their kids to curse. They think that's hysterical. They're teaching their kids to fight, to hit, to, you know, misbehave. And it's a cultural problem. And it's not a cultural problem that's going to be fixed by having school administrators paddle your kids. I think that is something that when people go, oh, yeah, they're going to paddle, they think that's some sort of solution that will work.
For the kids who are getting paddled,
I very seriously don't think it is.
What is the solution?
Well, I think if you've got a kid who is repeatedly in trouble, or a kid who's obviously not there to learn, who's disruptive, you need to take them out of a traditional classroom setting. You look at what's going on in our schools in Alabama, where, you know, you've got 30% of kids who can't read or prefer math on grade level. You take out the kids who are causing the trouble, and I know, oh, everybody's got to be mainstream these days. Forget that. You are hurting kids who are there to learn by letting these other kids be in the class. Sending them up to the principal to get paddled and putting them back in the classroom, that's not helping anybody. Get them back into alternative schooling. And hold the parents accountable. When kids go truant, when kids act amok in school, they're really laying down the law with the parents.
Yeah, but isn't that something that they floated up in your neck of the woods? And there's all kinds of legal questions about that. I mean, like, you can't. Was it Woodfin talking about putting parents of truant children in jail? But there's like, can you do that necessarily? And that's the question.
I'll tell you my personal experience. I am the middle child of three. I've got an older sister and a younger brother. I'm the only kid in my family who went to school past ninth grade. I kid you not. Ninth grade. My brother and my sister both dropped out. My parents' train of thought was, if you're out of my hair and out of my face, I don't care. Should parents be allowed to do that? The answer is absolutely not. For the most part, by and large, kids who drop out of school at that age end up being a drain on society. It is the parents' responsibility to make sure that those kids are going to school or getting an education, whether it be a trade school or something of some sort.
Well, like, how is that enforceable? Like, what do you, like, okay, you're being a bad parent. You go straight to jail. Don't collect $200. Don't pass go. What is the letter of the law here? How do you even put that into a way that is like policy?
I'd be interested to see the correlation between truant students and social services, welfare of people who need support. Why are these kids not coming to school? Their parents just don't give a hoot? Or their parents have an environment where they're not fostering this? I hate the idea of growing government. But kids who do not get an education, who do not learn to read, they end up being a tremendous problem for our communities, because we can't employ them. And so, yeah, I think the solution, it has to be to do something with the parents.
In defense of those kids who don't go to school, some of the schools around your neck of the woods in Birmingham, I don't know, some kids may be better off staying out of school than showing up in the hallways there.
You know, and that's another thing. Are the kids who are going missing, or is it better that they're missing? I still think we need alternative schools. You know, sitting in a classroom all day isn't for everyone. So, again, I'm going to bring it back to school choice. Get these kids in an environment where they're going to thrive, whether it be learning, you know, learning to be an electrician, learning to be a plumber, learning to be a welder, something.
Yeah, they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. They want to go, there's a social safety net that they can rely on, and there's I don't know, is it video games or is it weed or is it what? I mean, the culture's
all
changed.
The above, probably.
Culture's changed
all
so
of
much,
the above.
And it's a cultural thing. I don't know what the answer is. I honestly don't know.
It's surely not paddling, though. The idea that sending a kid to a principal's office, and by the way, the numbers went hugely down because the last numbers they're reporting are the year that they sent everybody home from school.
Let me
you
say
go
this.
From 10,000 paddlings to 2,000, 3,000 paddlings. And have it be because of some kind of cultural shift. No, it's because they were all sitting in front of the computer. They're all getting paddled by their parents.
Let me say this about paddling. I don't necessarily want anybody in the public school system paddling my child, but I don't want my child to know that. You know? Like, I like the idea of the option on the table that he thinks that if he screws up, he's going to the principal's office and getting a few licks. But if it really comes down to that, you know, it's not really going to happen. I like the idea of it. I think, and I was saying this earlier, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all solution. And I think if there are parents who have public school kids and they're, like, okay with the threat, they're okay with even the paddling, then that ought to be out there. But I don't think it ought to be, like, a mandatory, mandated, top-to-bottom thing. But, you know, it just depends on the child. They all react differently to different things. But I do like the idea of little Jax thinking that if he screws up, if he gets too out of line, well, there may be some licks coming his way. But I know, and his mama knows, it's probably not going to happen.
Well, but see, that's always, and I say always, that's traditionally worked before. Like, I'm going to call your daddy. Like, do you want me to pick up the phone and call your parents? What we need is to be living in a society, to recreate the society where the threat is but not going to send you to see the principal, but I'm going to call your parents, and your parents are actually going to do something. Because the kids who are getting sent to the principal's office to be paddled, the question is what's going on in their life that their behavior has gotten so out of control that they need this.
I mean, it's just the collapse of the nuclear family, like you said. And it's just I don't give a you know what attitude by the parents. You know, I think that's a big. How do you fix that? You can't. There's not necessarily a government fix for this, other than okay, all the people who don't care, all the people who could care less about any of this, they go over here, and then those who do care are invested in their child's life and their community, and so forth. They're over here. And we get real divisions. You know, people start breaking up into different tribes.
Well, imagine who is getting paddled. It's much like the idea of the school lunch fees, right? Like, kids aren't paying their lunch fees, and so the schools then cut them off from food, and it's this whole thing, right? Who is getting paddled? It's kids who probably don't have a strong parental. I know that they're good homes with kids who don't listen. But the majority of these kids are probably from homes where it's just buck wild anyway. And then you again need to drill down to, instead of sending the kid to the principal's office and having them paddled, send the kid to the principal's office and let's try to get to the root cause of what the crap is going on.
Well, let's talk about your feelings. Let's talk about what makes you sad. Let's talk. I mean, here's the thing. I don't think you need paddling to the extent that kids get desensitized to it and they don't give a damn if they get paddled or not. But I don't think we can just, we're way too soft. We're way too soft in our society right now with parenting. And I don't know what the answer is, but I do think we can't just be like, well, you know, we need to talk about our feelings and we need to have like, I mean, like the whole idea.
Well, and that's just not realistic, but you've got little Johnny over here who's taking everybody's lunch money, who's threatening his teacher, who's doing crazy stuff, gets sent to the principal's office. You can paddle him once and maybe that'll scare him. Not likely. Or you can sit little Johnny down and be like, all right, little brat. What's not like that. But what's really going on? Are you not sleeping? Are you not eating? Is daddy beating mommy? Are you having something else? That's not touchy feely SEL crap. Let's get to the root of the problem. And maybe little Johnny's just going to be a jerk and maybe even belong in the classroom.
Well, like
But I just think that this idea that we've got paddling on the books, that that's some kind of solution when it's not.
I mean, these are formative years, and like, you know, young people are like trying to develop, or they are, you know, maybe they're not trying. It just happens, like a moral compass, right, wrong, and figuring that out. And sometimes we need to be nudged in the right direction to know the distinction between right and wrong. What's happened, and I think this sort of, what was it, Jason Whitlock calls it, the baby mama culture or whatever, that there's just not that, there's not these values being instituted, that the culture is so crazy that it's like, do whatever feels good. Do whatever makes you feel good. And this is just from top to bottom.
Well, and that's the problem. The problem is too many kids are being told, you know, your feelings matter in a way that they should trump the rules or trump decency. That's how we end up with kids out there praising Osama bin frickin' Laden.
You feel like being a girl. Well, go put on your sister's clothes, and that's fine. These are all things that are just weird to me, and I don't think it's just like one family or whatever, but like the culture at large is changed to where it's more tolerant of a lot more than it ever has been.
Yeah, well, in that case, I agree the parents should be paddled, by the way, okay? You're putting your little boy in a dress and changing his name to Mary. Go ahead. I think as a society, I have refunked my position on paddling, taken out of the schools, and paddled the parents who are pushing this nonsense onto their kids and onto society, because that has no place in our life.
Like, you want to, you be you, let your freak flag fly, etc. Anyway, hey, April, we got to get out of here before we let you go. How can people find you online?
The best place is on Facebook and X at April Marie. That's APRYLMARIE.
Y'all check that out. We got to be, get a break in here. Be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Good night, angel. Sleep tight, darling, and close your pretty brown eyes.
Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up in the next segment, David Melton running for Mobile County License Commissioner. So y'all make sure you stay tuned for that. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show. It is up on the text line. Do we have any text here? I guess I need to fire up the old text machine. Gene, thanks to DEI, women got to be astronauts. Unnamed texter. Do they paddle in private schools? I think they do in some. I mean, so do parochial schools for sure. Unnamed texter, if he cut his own throat 30 years ago, he might have been a hero. Not sure what you're talking about there. Martin, you keep saying library, it's library. Library. I tend to skip over the R. You'll just have to get over it, guys. I don't know why this bothers you. I'm going to the library. I don't, it doesn't matter. Just stop, okay? If it bothers you that much, just change the channel. I'm tired of that being pointed out to me. Keith, Jeff, so awesome of you to ask your listeners to pray for Tommy T. He is protecting the rights of the abortion. I think that's what this is all about. Here, the left thinks it's just, you just want to tell women what to do. No, I don't care. It's just a clump of cells. It is a life. There's no benefit of the doubt from the left in this country, in this state even, that people are trying to do the right thing. They always ascribe the worst motivations to the right when it comes to things. And I'm just like so sick of it. When Tommy Tuberville is not just like up there showboating, he's not just up there trying to raise money. He's going to win his election no matter what. He actually cares about the unborn. And you people in the media who just disagree with that, trying to make it out to be something it isn't. This is pretty widespread. It's not just that. You're not even open to that possibility. You're sick in the head. Pat writes, I bet that spanking worked on the teacher's attitude. Some of these old school institutionalists, I mean, they know. They have a practical application of paddling. It seemed to work to some degree. Maybe it didn't work fully, but it did work to some degree on some people. The only answer, according to Summer Del Tony, is cutting the social safety net off. Well, that's probably not going to happen. Unnamed texter, like you said, Jeff, America has become soft there. Seems to be no consequences for anyone's actions anymore. Yeah, we were like diminishing the consequences. Like you said, if you wanna be crazy, if you wanna like become a woman, and then we have to be okay with it. There's no consequences to it. Congratulations. Society can't make you feel like you're a weirdo. If you're a guy, that is. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
From Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between, an insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Moore Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the program. Make sure you use the text. Your texting device is the best way I would go about it. Still to come on the program about a half hour from now, our good buddy, State Senator Chris Elliott, the returning champion of the Jeff Moore Show, so stay tuned for that. Joining us now, we get a few minutes here with him. He's running for license commissioner in Mobile County. David Peanut Melton joining us on the line. David, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Okay, well, it's not often I get somebody running for license commissioner on the program, but I guess we'll start it off here. Walk us through what this position does, its responsibilities, and then kind of tell us why you want to be the license commissioner.
Well, Mobile County operates five offices countywide, from North Mobile County to South, all the way to Theodore. That is responsible for many things, but most of us in the county recognize this, we're the place that you renew your tag. And your driver's license, maybe. You may even apply for your business license there, or even pay your use taxes. A lot of operations, a lot of things take place in that office. And I wrote my platform a little over a year ago for this seat as license commissioner in Mobile County to make a few changes and make some things happen that are more convenient for the citizens of Mobile County.
Well, and so tell us what those are specifically, I suppose.
So, and I'll briefly just say, no one wants to go to the license commissioner's office. First of all, it costs money to go there. Two, it's inconvenient most of the time. And three, it's not a very pleasant experience. And so one of my goals and my vision for this is to change that experience so that it's not a miserable experience to go there. Even if you do forget your paperwork or you don't have the proper paperwork, it's a service provider to the citizens of Mobile County, and that's exactly what it should be. So one of the things that I'm looking at is maybe adjusting or modifying the hours of operation so it's more convenient for everybody in Mobile County, even those people that work Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. The possibility of opening a half a day on Saturday, maybe. Those are things that make it more convenient as a service provider to the citizens of Mobile County. And that's, And one of the things that I have a vision for, I spoke about this last night at my campaign kickoff, was a drive-through option. McDonald's have been doing it over 60 years now. There's no reason why we can't provide that to the ones out there that are physically challenged, maybe, or maybe even moms that have kids in the car that don't, you know, that they can't get them out of the car seat or don't want to walk them into the license commissioner's office, or even parents in general, that a drive-through option would solve those problems. And if a drive-through option is not possible on that particular venue, then we create either a kiosk or a drive-up option, like you would pick up your groceries at Walmart even. You dial the number on the little metal sign in front of the parking space. Someone comes out, takes your paperwork, processes it, brings you back your tag sticker and your receipt. It should be a more fluent, easier process than what we're going through now. I like the current license commissioner. He's a friend of mine, and I have no issues with Mr. Matranga, and I care for Nick. He's done a phenomenal job carrying on what Tim Hastie started many years ago with the 10-minute tag. I'm certainly going to keep that 10-minute tag, and I can even make it more proficient than that and make it pleasant when we do it.
Well, how do you accomplish this without running up a big tab?
Well, it's tough to beat an incumbent in Mobile County, but it's not possible. Foot on the gas, and we're not going to let off until we take it all the way to the victory lane. But it's it is difficult. Campaigning stuff in Mobile County, especially.
I'm not referring to that. I meant like institute these changes within something like the license commission. Without, I mean, how is this not cost prohibitive? I guess is to make this. I mean, I'm all for convenience, and I like the idea. But I guess trying to find that right balance between what is feasible, what is affordable, and what really will make the world a better place, right?
Yep. If your business is closed, that's the day you're not taking in money, right? So every day that you're open, you have an opportunity to take in more money. The money's there. It's just a matter of the logistics that need to be put in place to make these things happen.
And I mean, it's like, you know, my experience is at the DMV or wherever, it's just government bureaucracy, a lot of unhappy, soulless people that you're dealing with. And I know they have to deal with broad swaths of humanity, and it probably wears them down after a while. But like, it is just like, you know, like you said, when we think about it, it's just kind of government, icky government, and nothing, you know. It's not like going out in the private sector and shopping somewhere where you get good customer service sometimes.
That's right. And one of the things that it's on my platform is to improve the morale of the employees of that office. And there's several things you can do through leadership that can improve that morale. And I truly believe that would improve the people having a bad day, if you may, at that office. And it happens. I mean, it is a bureaucracy of a government agency that's providing a service, but and not everybody is always in a good mood. But when you can improve the morale overall in the setting, it certainly makes it more of a pleasant place for not only the employee, but the person that has to go there.
And kind of walk us through, like, why is this your calling of, you know, all the ways to be a public servant? Why did you see this as something that you wanted to do?
Well, Jeff, I spent over 30 years as a community leader in Mobile County, over 20 years in law enforcement, and I'm one of these type of guys in the leadership role when I have an opportunity to correct a problem. Then I do so, and that's what ignited the fire for me on this. I've got some personal stories of involvement with the license commissioner's office over my years as an adult, if you may, and changes that I decided to make years ago, and the best way to make the change is to be in charge, and that's exactly what spurred this movement for me. Like I said, I wrote the platform over a year ago, and it's just now become public. But it's something that I've had my heart set on, and I feel that there's a calling for me in this aspect, and I'm ready to take on the challenge.
Well, David, if folks are interested, they want to get in touch with your campaign or any of that, how can they do so?
The easiest way right now is to follow us on Facebook, David Peanut Melton for License Commissioner. That is updated many times a day, and it's kind of all of our contact information in there, email, text, all those options in the Facebook page. Certainly reach out to me. DavidPeanutMelton@gmail.com is my email address. Certainly we'll respond that way as well. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that the citizens have.
Well, David, thanks for your time. Best of luck to you, and maybe we get closer to that primary. We'll get you on again.
Fantastic, Jeff. Thank you for having me. You'll have a fantastic Friday.
You do the same. David Melton, David Peanut Melton, as he goes by on his social media, joining us there, running for Mobile County License Commissioner. Let's get through some text here while we have a chance. Let's kick it off here. Chris and Daphne writes, why remove one of the many tools in the shed? Referring to taking the paddle out of the hands of disciplinarians in the public schools. I'm kind of with you. I think it needs to be an option, but it is kind of a nuclear option. CB Carl says, ask the texter how they pronounce Wednesday. Fire Dog. Not only did you get a good paddle, but when you got home, Dad took off the belt and got serious. Since we don't have paddling or dads anymore, there is no solution. Just pipe the kids straight from the school into the prison. That's the society Democrats have built. You got to have some kind of consequence. If there's bad behavior in a school, then what's your consequence going to be? We got to sit the kid down and go talk about his feelings. Now, I don't know the answer to this, but I don't think just saying, "Well, we're not going to paddle," is the end all be all solution here. Pat writes this: the faster we get parents off of welfare and state funded programs, the faster education will improve. It is 80% of parents' foster kids are undisciplined and 20% bad teachers are teaching in Alabama. I agree. The policymakers in the state have thrown everything at the schools. It's just, here's the problem, Pat, and you tell me, there's bad schools in every state. There's bad parents in every state in America. And there's bad schools as well. Why do we see much more lackluster results in Alabama than in other states? Is the culture that much more far gone in Alabama than it is in Kentucky, than it is in Indiana, than it is in wherever, Arkansas? Why are test scores lower in Alabama? Why do we have more poverty? And is it just, is it coincidence? I don't think so. There's something wrong. Well, we had some real difficult conversations about this stuff, but you have these same cultural variables in every state. And then the one thing that distinguishes the states is that there are all these laboratories of democracy, as we say, but the policies vary state to state to state. So, maybe there is more of a correlation there in Alabama than we think. Unnamed texter, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for your contribution. Jolene, if Chick-fil-A can do it, the license commissioner's office should be able to do it. Yeah, but the people at Chick-fil-A figured, look, we're leaving money on the table by not speeding this thing up. Gary writes, hey, Jeff, I lived in California, Nevada, Las Vegas, and Minnesota, and the DMV sucks. When I came here to the commissioner's office, it was a piece of cake. In and out, loved it. Cheap, way too cheap compared to other states. Michael writes, he seems like a nice enough guy running for license commissioner. But to be honest, Mobile County license system isn't bad to deal with. I remember 20 years ago, I had to wait all day to get through. Now you get through in under an hour. A, it's working well as we could possibly hope for. Sean says, Pampers to prison, exclamation point. Finally, Gene. Gene, always a ray of sunshine on the text line. Mass number one in education, Massachusetts, right? But what is it? Massachusetts has, it's probably Connecticut. Is it Connecticut ahead? I know it's New England tends to be the best in education. But I mean, these are like serious questions, right? Like what are they doing different? Could you, and this is the other thing, like trying to take a state system where they have different cultural norms, they accept different things, and impose it upon Alabama doesn't necessarily mean it will work. It might, but people are different. I mean, we aren't just, you know, little marks on a sheet of paper. We're all different, and we all have different influences in our lives. So, I you know, like, it's a hard question, but the solution, so therefore the solution won't be easy. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Programming note coming up on Monday. There's an abbreviated week next week. I was just informed only a two-day week. Leanna giving me Wednesday off. So a big, big shout-out to Leanna for that. But on Monday, we will have half of the next week's work week. We'll have our usual Monday guest. I assume Jennifer Fiddler will be with us, state representative from my neck of the woods. Dale Jackson, WVNN, who is doing things to his child on football fields, apparently based on his Twitter. Y'all could go find that one on your own. And then she's running for the 2nd Congressional District from Montgomery, but I think originally from Monroe County. Carolee Dobson will make time for us on Monday's program. So please tune in for that. Join us here in just a few minutes. You want to stick around. State Senator Chris Elliott, the returning champion, making his last appearance before the month of December. So we'll talk to him, and then we'll let him go do celebrate the Pirates Cove Josephine style Thanksgiving. I'm sure it's just we can all be envious, can't we? Let's see here. Jason writes, Jeff, these school discipline problems are mostly from black kids and teachers want nothing to do with them. Williamson Blunt, that's why working at private schools like Faith Academy and St. Luke's have thrived, except now they sold their soul to sports and have become the problem kids there, too. Well, I don't think you should ascribe it to race, Jason. I mean, I don't think it's a racial question. It may be a circumstantial question, inner city and poverty in the inner city and things as such as that. But inner city youth, it's a discipline problem in the lack of, like, quality educators. I mean, do you want to go teach in? Do you want to teach at the like you said, Faith Academy, or do you want to teach at Williamson? One pays better. I mean, one's safer, or whatever. Maybe that has something to do with it, but there are some circumstances there. And I mean, let's be honest, like the culture's changed so much and a lot of these kids just don't want to be there. I don't know what they would rather be doing, but I always think about it like this, like what if that were me in one of these inner city schools? It would be so easy to give up hope. I mean, you feel like you're left behind. Society doesn't care about you. The world's not fair. You work hard, you try hard, but it just comes back and It's not worth it. There's so many easier paths to happiness or to what makes you happy, what you think makes you happy. I don't know. But there's a lot of things like that. And that kind of exacerbates the problem. That if you are a school child in Pritchard, Alabama, coming from a family maybe doesn't have, just living in poverty, well, it feels hopeless. Like you work hard, and where are you going to get? And society doesn't want you. I can see it like feeding on itself. That's why Obama was such a popular figure. I mean, he sold something that wasn't very tangible, but it was a belief. It was a hope. It was a hope and change. Yeah. Like most of us say, like, well, what does that even mean? But there's communities that have just given up, or people in communities that have just given up, I should say. I don't know about the communities themselves. And I think that's like something you've got to kind of try to figure out in these beleaguered, some of these struggling communities. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.